I invite you to turn in the Gospel, or in your Bibles, to the Gospel, to Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 15, and you may follow along with me. Luke 16, on page 740 of your pew Bibles. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man." Oh, please stand. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, 'And how much do you owe?' 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the people of this world are more shrewd in their dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will, by your Holy Spirit, instruct us even further. Guide us in your ways. Help us to see things afresh. In Jesus' name. Amen. This shrewd manager that we hear about today is not the kind of manager that you want to have working for you, because it sounds like in many different ways this man had no clue of what was going on. He's accused of wasting his master's money. And it's interesting that either he was, in the story that Jesus tells, a parable, in this parable that Jesus tells, it's like the man either didn't know how much money the people owed, because he had to ask them, each one, "How much do you owe your master?" And it's either that, or he had no access to the records, and he is doing, because he's doing this in the sly, he's doing it before he's completely fired. The ESV Study Bible says that the manager had great foresight to anticipate his needs after his dismissal, thus using his financial expertise to make friends for himself. He lowered the price of everybody's debt so that one day he could be welcomed into their home, because he says that he was too weak to dig. He's too ashamed to beg. So he needed to have another method. And he was very clever and very creative in how he did it. And he did it quickly. He told each person quickly, "You know, sit down
and write this.
In this parable, Jesus praises this dishonest manager. Jesus is not praising dishonesty, though. He's not praising his conduct, but he's praising his cleverness. He praises his shrewdness, his understanding of the situation, and coming up with a creative solution to it. David Guzik says that the steward, knowing he would be called to account, used his present position to prepare him for the next stage of his life. When I hear something like that, I think of people planning for retirement and things like that. You know, planning for the next stage of life. But you know, this isn't about retirement. This is something even far deeper, far more important. Jesus said, "The people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light." He goes on to say, "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." We have to talk about the word shrewd a little bit. Shrewd sounds like a rude. You know, it sounds kind of rough and callous. But here's what Webster says: having or showing an ability to understand things and to make good judgments, mentally sharp or clever. That is what shrewd is. To being able to understand a situation, make a good judgment, and be clever with it. We are to have wisdom when it comes to worldly wealth. Wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Everybody knows, it comes from God. God is the source of wisdom. So we should ask God to help us to be wise in the position we find ourselves in. Now, I want to be very careful here to make sure that there's nobody who's checking out at this point because they don't have much money. You know what I mean? We don't want anybody to check out saying, "Oh, I don't have much money," so no. Jesus, of course, warns us in another place in the New Testament where he says that we are to not be lovers of money. And this doesn't just apply to rich. It applies to anybody else. People who have money and people who don't have money. Because we're not to be lovers of money. We're instead to be wise about it. I think of a word that reminded me of some medical pills or some kind of medicine you can take by prescription. And this is called proactive. Now, I don't know, it sticks in my head. A relative of mine has all kinds of self-help books and little magazines you get, and I see things like this in there. They create a new word, you know. But proactive is a current word. It's an existing word. But we should be proactive when it comes to situations in our life and also with worldly wealth. Proactive means controlling a situation by making things happen, by preparing for possible future problems. Some people might say, like businesses will plan a five-year plan, or maybe a one-year plan, whatever it might be. We're to be proactive in our life with worldly wealth. When I say proactive, I mean not to be reactive. When we're reactive, that means that we're responding to a problem or a situation, and we're reacting to problems when they occur instead of doing something about them ahead of time. You follow me? Be proactive instead of reactive with worldly wealth for God. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we're people of the light, or people of God, you could say. We're to be more than reactive. We should be proactive when it comes to things of God and things of this earth. Whatever it is that you have, whatever it is I have, whatever, how small the amount of money or how great or possessions, whatever it might be, we should not be reactive, but we should be proactive. Of course, you have to respond to situations, but we might be able to prevent some situations from happening and be able to use God's wealth and money to bless others. Okay, we shouldn't just be looking at the thermometer, in other words, right? And then dressing accordingly. We need to set the thermostat. We need to do that and allow God to have control of all that we have so that he is the one who actually sets the thermostat. And we're part of that and can be used by God. We're not just here to consume, not just here to use things. We're people of God. We're called to give witness to God. We're called to bless other people with the love of God. And you know what? We should do this in creative and clever ways. We should be doing things like brainstorming, you know? We should be doing things like planning in advance, not just saying, what should we do now? Jesus said, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. We know that we're not saved by what we do, but he's talking here about using what we have to bring about salvation in people's lives. That's true, you can't buy love, but you can sure buy Bibles. You can sure funnel what you have to God's glory and his praise. I think this is saying that we're to be using worldly wealth to help bring about salvation. Because he says, so you'd be welcomed into eternal dwellings. One person said that if we pursue God like people pursue worldly wealth, this whole planet would be a different place to live. It is like Jesus is challenging us here to be creative in using worldly wealth to bring people into the kingdom. Jesus says the people of this world are really shrewd in their dealings. Very clever. You'd say almost cutthroat. They're very, 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 they go after it. Because in a sense, that's their God. We know that our God is greater than any false god, right? And if that's the case, we should be like going all in, diving in, not just standing with our toes on the edge of the water. We should be swimming in the grace and mercy of God. So, what do I want us to do? Trust God, of course, above anything else. But I also want us to pray about it together. I want us to pray about how can we, in this place, in this time, better use what we have for God's glory, better use these things for ministry so that people can come to faith, so people can grow in faith. Brainstorming, you know what brainstorming is? It's like if we were to say, okay, let's brainstorm right now. Anybody can say anything and it's accepted. Doesn't mean you're going to do it later, but it's an idea. And so brainstorming about things of the kingdom of God is a creative thing to do. It's a good idea to do that. Like saying, God, what do you want to do in this place? And everybody's unique and different, has different gifts, and things will pop up out of people's minds. Well, what about this? What about this? Brainstorming is something we should do too. We should pray. We should brainstorm, and then we should listen. Pray, brainstorm, and listen to see what God would like us to do. It might be one of those ideas, and it also might surprise us. I think God puts passions in us. He puts passions in us, and sometimes those passions are to be used for ministry. They might be the very focus of our ministry. Lord, show us how you want us to use the money, time, and possessions you've given us. That might be one of our prayers. Of course, we might be praying it already, but still pray it. Pray it more. Well, anyway, I guess my first point that I'm trying to say here is basically that we should be shrewd, clever, creative in the things of this world to bring people into the kingdom. Also, we should be faithful in the very little things, so that we'll be faithful in much. I think of a parent who would put something out on a coffee table or out on their desk or dresser or whatever. And it might be a certain amount of money, they know how much it is, and then they'll come back expecting that that same amount of money will be there later, even after kids have been through the room. You know what I mean? It's like a test. I know Sandy grew up in her family and that's what was going on. And I think even into Lou's older age, he just left a certain amount of money. I don't know if he counted or not, but he always left it right out there, even though we were staying in that room. Don't even think of even getting close to that. I don't know if it was a test. I can't ask him. He's not here anymore. But what I do know is that when we're faithful in small things, in very small things, then we can be in charge of larger things, right? There was a movie that came out by the Kendrick brothers a while ago. It was about the cops. And I'm trying to think about even the title of it. It's slipping my head right now. Courageous. And in that, there's a great example of when someone was tested by their boss, and they proved to be faithful, and they are rewarded for that. And in that position, he was got more pay, but he saw it also as a spiritual test. That when we're faithful in small things, God will put us in charge of larger things, more important things. And what are those things? Things of the kingdom. We often see money as something great, but Jesus labels it as little. The great things are the things of God, His gifts, His responsibilities, His joys, His love. If we're faithful with worldly wealth too, this is like something that goes alongside it. If we're faithful with worldly wealth, then we'll be faithful with the things of God, spiritual wealth. So we're to be shrewd in using money for God's kingdom. And also to be faithful in small things so that we can be faithful with spiritual things. And the next one, the last one I want to point out is that we cannot serve two masters. Now, Jesus here is speaking about a slave. Imagine a slave. You've either got one master here or you got this master here. You don't have two masters. He doesn't say you should only serve two masters. You should only serve one master. He says you cannot. You cannot serve two masters. It's impossible. It doesn't mean that we can't have wealth, but that we cannot serve it and serve God. We're to choose who is going to be our master, money or God. Well, everyone like the dishonest steward will be called into account one day, and we're to use our present resources to plan ahead for the kingdom. We're not to wait until we have enough to do something. We're to plan ahead, we're to pray, we're to seek God's guidance now. We're to ask Him to help us brainstorm. Help us to be creative, right? Help us be clever in reaching out to others with the gospel. In the Old Testament lesson in Amos, we heard about Israel. They would be held accountable by God because they had made a false god and they were chasing after money. And they were taking advantage of people. They were stealing. They cheated. They had dishonest scales. And they even sold people for a pair of sandals. There's great lack of respect for human beings. Sounds almost like today in some ways, doesn't it? When you think of abortion or whatever, a great lack of respect for people. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to understand things of your kingdom. We want to be shrewd and clever and creative and make wise judgments in the area of money for you. No matter the amount, God, that we have, we know that it's yours and that you've made us stewards of it. No matter how few possessions or how many we have, God, would you please remind us that they are yours and that we're to use it for your glory and also, God, for helping people to come to know you. Use what you've given us to lead others to salvation and eternity with you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.